Welcome to Tom Papa's Come to Papa.
Welcome to another edition of Come to Papa, your favorite podcast among all the other podcasts.
The best.
I have had such an annoying day. One of those days where you just, whatever you do, you're just hit with annoyance after annoyance after annoyance. And like that. Did you hear that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's my day. Every moment of the day, there has been nothing but alerts, noises, tings, traffics,
roof,
dogs, FedEx guys. I can't take it. You take over. Just take over.
Well, I had trouble sleeping, so I had the same thing, but at night, which is, you hear every police siren, every helicopter, every dumb neighbor that is still playing some war game that makes you feel like you're in World War III.
You hear that in your apartment?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Well, you do if your ears are hypersensitive.
Are yours?
Yes. You can hear everything.
All the time? Like Aquaman?
I think it's one of my superpowers.
Have you always known that?
I'm just looking at Bella trying to relax in her cone. She's back to the cone.
Just stay. Just lay down.
And
she has a cone because she got a tick on her leg. And she, with her intelligence, licked a hole through her leg.
Right.
What started as a tiny tick bite turned into a Grand Canyon on her inner thigh.
So the cone, usually you can lay down, but she's trying to sit like a dandelion with the opening of the flower straight up, pointing at the sun. With her, like she's trying to, like she's Pauly from The Sopranos, trying to get the sun reflected back into her face.
I might end up losing my voice. I've been fighting off, you know what it is? Why everything's been exactly the same, but I've been fighting off some bug.
Oh, yeah.
And when that happens, you just, you know how you lose your patience for everything? Mm-hmm. That's where I am. So don't cross me with your super ears.
I can hear you sipping the water. We have three more days to recover.
Yeah, I better not lose my voice before we go to Vallejo, California and Federal Way, Washington. Oh, there's a big kerfuffle about Federal Way, Washington, by the way.
Uh-oh.
I don't know. Vallejo is right near San Francisco.
Right, yep.
So anybody that's up in that area, quit your complaining. I'm on my way. But you're not coming to Federal Way, are you?
No.
And people are losing their minds about that.
We have the Empress Theater in Vallejo on Friday.
Yes.
And then you're at, what's the name of the place, Saturday, in Federal Way, which is it Seattle, basically, or no, or is it out in the...
Is what, where?
Where is Federal Way?
Washington, like north of Seattle.
North of Seattle, okay.
Yeah. Near the airport. That's what I heard.
Is that good?
They want to know why you're not coming. Why isn't Paul going to be there? They're expecting Paul. What's happening?
What?
Yep. I'm responding right now to an email, an annoying email.
See, I told you this. You said that you You never have these problems.
What problems?
I told you,
being able to hear in the middle of the night?
People are, you know, bugging you, asking you things, and then you got to respond. I had Colin Quinn call me this morning.
Why?
Because I sent him a text 2 days ago about that festival in Ireland he did.
Uh-huh.
And they're on East Coast time.
Mm-hmm.
So he calls me at 6 in the morning or something. That's always a good one, too.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's like early there.
Oh, my God. That shows where his career is at when he doesn't realize what time it is in L.A. What's wrong with him? Did you hang up on him, or did you keep talking to him?
Oh, no, I talked to him for a second. There is that guilty thing of like, oh, yeah, I'm up. You know, when somebody calls. And
yeah. Someone as important as Colin.
I didn't wake you up, did I?
I haven't been sick in... I've been in this house 2.5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of crazy. And I've never been sick in it. I've never had a cold in this house.
Okay.
Not once. I've been rocking through flu season, no problem. No, people are dying left and right.
Yeah.
Old people, teenagers. The flu shot helps or it doesn't help at all. All the same stuff.
It gives you the flu. That's what they say.
Gives you the flu, and then it doesn't give you the flu, and then it protects you, and then it kills you. And all the same confusion. I just cruise. I don't even have to pay attention to that news because Tommy doesn't get sick. Went out on Friday night with my friends, Hans and Sarah, for Hans's birthday and my birthday, which was a long time ago, but we weren't able to celebrate. So we went out Friday night, had some nice wine because dry January is over, and woke up the next morning feeling a little hungover. Because I haven't been drinking. So I decide I'm going to go for a run. And as I'm running, I feel like a little rattle in my chest area.
Mm-hmm.
And I was kind of shot all day. Turns out it wasn't a hangover. I got some kind of little bug.
Yeah.
And that night was like a little feverish and shaky. But I'm not going down, Paul. I'm not one of these people that gets a cold and says I'm just going to get a Afghan and some tea and sit on the couch and just watch Hallmark Valentine specials for the whole week.
But you are part of the
keep
problem.
Moving.
You're part of the problem.
Why?
Because you're every person that you meet now is fighting off something, but insists, oh no, it's just allergies or I had something last week, but I'm fine now.
Who are all these people?
I went to a film festival. Everybody was sick and wants to shake your hand. And I know you're all sick. Just admit it.
Well, you know,
not
during
allergies.
The pandemic, you're not supposed to be shaking hands with people.
That's how we're going down. Nobody admits they're sick.
Well, what am I supposed to do? Just tell everybody I'm sorry. I'm not going to be taking meetings. I got to stay in my tub like a little baby man because I got to sniffle.
We have a problem in our society with sickness. People who aren't sick pretend that they're sick hundreds of times a day to get out of school and work. And the people that are actually sick never admit they're sick. And they get everybody else sick. That's the problem.
Well, it's all new to me because I don't get sick. And we've got big shows to do, and I got to keep my voice going.
Yeah.
We got to get this podcast going. And then, you know what tomorrow is?
Tomorrow, is it, Valentine's Day?
Yes.
So, do you get peace and quiet? Is that your gift?
No. I went to the same place for the last 5 years, maybe 6 years. And I get an inside tip from a woman I live with who said that the children don't really eat those candies. They're a little too fancy.
Mm.
And she tells me not to go to the traditional place that I normally go to spread Valentine cheer. It's a beautiful place. They do these things with these papers on the boxes and these little characters. And it's like getting a Rose Bowl float for Valentine's Day. It's gorgeous. I don't care if you eat the chocolate or not. It's the expression of the hair. Well, I am told not to do that this year, which is okay. People want to change it up a little bit. I'm not,
Well, it doesn't sound like change it up. It sounds like we don't like anything you've done for 5 years.
Yeah, but that I can live with. It's pretty much how it goes with it.
Seems hurtful.
Yeah, but you find when you're married that the level of hurt is...
that things zoom in on you 5 years later.
You're just like, yeah, what else? Right. But what it did was screw up the whole scheduling of everything. And because I was pulling the trigger on it like a week and a half out, taking care of it all. So now I got to pull something out of my ear and figure out what to do. So I'm with my buddy at a little bit of a lunch meeting today. And then it dawns on me, oh, crab apples. Now I've been made into Fred Flintstone. I don't have anything, and it's tomorrow. Mm-hmm. And my head cold is flying around. And I haven't been able to keep facts straight, so I didn't go to the mall first thing in the morning. So now I am like a rube, a Valentine rube, running around after lunch before I come see you for our amazing podcast, trying to salvage this thing. And I put it together. I got some stuff.
Yeah.
Does not compare to what was done in the past years. But if they're happier with it.
Yeah, as far as you know.
I don't know.
No, but isn't this what we... You were rushing around to do this last year to get it here in time. And then it did get here in time and she put it on your desk and it melted in the sun.
That's right. I forgot about that.
She didn't even open it.
You're right. And it just melted.
Maybe that's why the candy wasn't good.
I don't need to be appreciated. I don't need to be held up as, oh, you're the greatest Valentine's husband, dad ever. Mm-hmm. I don't need those accolades. I just need things to run smoothly and on time. So... I apologize for the delay. I had to push you off by an hour because I was running for my life.
Dave, what did you do yesterday?
Your
Monday is usually clear. Did you have to do a show or something?
I was... where the hell was I?
That's what I asked.
That's what I'm trying to answer. I was Monday. I had the Live From Here meeting where we do the... all the scripts and stuff for the upcoming show. And then
Don't do that. You're going to ruin your voice.
I don't know. There was some work. There was some work stuff going flying around.
Are you rushing?
But I also because I was fighting off the bird flu.
Yeah,
things got pushed and rattled daddled, and then I had to bring my daughter to an imaginary swim lesson, which was canceled, and nobody told us. So we got dressed in the night and went to the pool like idiots, and just sat there. And then realized we just spent an hour and a half for no reason doing nothing. And then came back. So the schedule's been a little haywire, I would call it.
Yeah. That's all right.
It's okay. We got some big-ass pizza dough proofing right now on the counter.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. There's another message coming in about you.
You're jumping into pizza dough? Because that doesn't stay... good long, right?
2 days.
Yeah.
2 days. It's called Double Zero Flour. It's like this lighter flour just for pizza. And Yeah, at when this is over, it should be separated and put into balls and then put in the fridge, and then we'll be able to make pizza this evening. That's another thing that got screwed up. I got to get to the damn store to pick up the mozzarella and the basil.
Pick up the mozz.
Pick up the mozz, you son of a bitch.
That's where you got to have Liz from the Comedy Cellar mail you the New York City tap water to put in the dough for...
Yeah. You know, there's... For this, I may or may not be doing this show for a certain network that deals with a lot of eating things. And I went and paid a visit to a pizza guy here in Los Angeles. And his pizza is near Largo.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm spacing on the name. It was good. He came from New York. He doesn't ship water in. He just makes kick-ass sauce and has good ingredients. And it's... I would put it up against anything in New York. I think it's just the dumbass people out here, they have no roots in it.
Well, it does go to your thing of people that just do this. Like when we went to the place where they were just making that dough, remember they were doing it so fast? And you're like, how do they get so good at doing breaking up the dough?
Yeah.
And it's because they're doing it 100 times an hour. And
yeah.
that's what I think the New York thing is. These guys are literally making like pizzas every 5 minutes because people
day
are buying
day
pizza.
After day. Yeah.
In LA, it's some college kid that wants you to make your own pizza and I'll put it in the oven for you. That guy doesn't know anything about making the dough.
He's an idiot. I hate that guy so much. Why is it every time you order a pizza and decide that you want to have a nice salad alongside with and they bring it to your house? It's the worst salad that they've ever made. Just some pieces of iceberg and a one old olive. And so, and it's always wet. It always has water on it. Why can't they get that together?
It's funny you say that. I went to, remember I messaged you. I went to an Italian place in the neighborhood. And I said, is this place any good? And so I went to it. And I knew it was a real good Italian place because I ordered this good pasta. And I said, hey, is there any way they can get like a little side salad? And they're like, nope. Either get like a full dinner salad or you're eating pasta. That's,
well, that sounds pretty good.
Yeah, that's what I mean. That's how you know
that
it's authentic.
That place, Pagliacci's.
Yeah, yeah.
Pagliucci's. Pagliani's.
Pagliacci's.
Pagliacci's. I went there years ago and it wasn't so hot.
No?
Yeah, but I just went in to like grab something and I'm not judging it because it was very short-lived. But I went past it the other day on my way to get the kids from school and it was... And I was like, I haven't been in that place in years. And then just by coincidence, you texted that you were
I feel
in.
Like it's kind of... It must have been revamped or looks...
Yeah.
It looks new to
it
me.
Does. Did you go in there and eat?
Yeah, yeah. It was like... It was one of those places where it's like almost 10 o'clock and every place is closing. And I was like, I kind of feel like pasta, but I don't want to order takeout. So I just went in and it was great. You just have like the waiter and the owner because you're
nice.
Like the, one of the last guys eating there. So they actually will tell you like, oh, this is good. This isn't. That
kind of
stuff.
Did you feel like you were in the mafia?
I did. No, I felt like I was watching the mafia eat. Next to me. You know how there's always like those guys that hang out at the Italian place?
Yeah.
There's those two or three dudes that are talking to the owner the whole time. They had that going on.
Oh, nice.
So,
what did you get? What'd you order?
I got a penne vodka.
Nice.
Or no, penne arrabbiata.
Ooh, spicy.
Yeah, that was good.
Ooh, that sounds
some
good.
Chicken. But you know what was good was their bread was amazing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So you might have to check it out just for the bread.
Who the hell do they think they are?
I don't know. I want to say it was very soft, though. Wasn't like the sourdough, so it must have been...
Right.
I'm trying to think if it would have been not Italian. It was a little lighter than that.
Was there a gorgeous Italian waitress that you fell in love with?
Unfortunately, no.
Went to the park the next day with?
It was a real Italian waiter guy, though. It was kind of like Domingo's. There was definitely real Italian people there.
Nice.
So,
well, that's good to hear because there's not a lot of those places.
Yeah, I haven't been. That's what I was almost going to text you, like, is there any Italian places in our neighborhood anymore? Because the one I used to go to closed.
Yeah, they close a lot.
And
it's tough to get a carby place going in LA because everybody's such a twit about it.
Yeah, there's like one or two places on Ventura, I feel like, but I just never feel like they're either overpriced or they're not good.
That would be a good thing to do, to open an Italian place on Ventura. And when people come in and ask for whatever modifications they want because of their LA diets, you make them leave.
Well, that's what I felt like the salad thing was like. Yeah. No,
we're not doing that.
We're not even going to make you a salad, even if you want it.
Gluten-free pasta? Can you please get out? Can you please leave right now and just start taking their utensils?
You don't want this.
You don't want this. Get out of here. Get out of here.
You don't deserve this.
I think that's the way to go. And then it'd become a thing. Oh, that place where they yell at you?
Yeah.
I brought my girlfriend there. She's a vegetarian, and they yelled at her. She wouldn't eat the octopus.
I feel like it almost worked because I watched the last two seasons of The Sopranos again. So I feel like I got into the
last two seasons?
Yeah.
Well, I want to do that. How many seasons were there?
Six.
One time I saw Tony Soprano, James Gandolfini, in an Italian restaurant in New York.
Oh, really?
Yeah, a place he would come in with his family. And he was sitting there at the head of the table. He had a napkin tucked into his shirt. And he's just head down, devouring this pasta with his family all around him. And it was like, this is the show.
Yeah.
Completely looked like the show.
That's amazing. I the one time I did see him in person, unstaged, and I can't remember now if it was before or after.
What do you mean unstaged?
Like I was doing the HBO festival in Vegas. So I'm in Caesar's Palace just walking through, and he's coming full speed right at me. Like, I can see him from 100 yards away.
Right.
This huge guy. It's James Gandolfini. Because you were kind of noticing there's a few famous people. They had some poker game going on. So it's him coming right at me. Nice. And I had, like, a couple drinks. And I can't remember if it was before or after I saw the... Remember that episode he goes to Vegas?
Yeah.
To, like... Remember Christopher...
Eats peyote.
Christopher dies and he goes to, like... Yeah, he eats peyote, goes to the desert. I don't know if it was before or after, but I felt like I was in the episode. Because he was coming at me full speed, and he did kind of look at me, and then just kept going.
That's amazing.
And it was one of those times where...
You should have punched him right in the face.
But he was... That's how good an actor he was. He was looking... Just being himself. You know what I mean? Like, you know how you see some people, and you're like, oh, he doesn't look like...
Yeah,
he's an actor like him. James Gandolfini scared me in real life.
Went to Park Ridge High in New Jersey. He grew up in the same town where my wife went to school.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
There's one interesting thing because a lot of people watch that first episode because it's like a really good pilot, like the way they set up the whole scenario, and he almost doesn't have the accent in the therapist meeting, but he's got it like in the scenes later on. So it makes me feel like they told him not to put it on too thick.
Oh, really?
The accent.
Yeah.
And then when he's doing the stuff, he's got like the New Jersey thing, but when he's in there, he just has kind of a straight up like thing.
He was such a great actor. You want to hear what his final meal was?
Oh, what?
According to the New York Post at the time, 2013, he struggled with booze addiction in his final week, scarfed down a decadent final meal that included at least 8 alcoholic drinks, 4 shots of rum, 2 pina coladas, 2 beers at dinner. Then he chowed down on 2 orders of fried king prawns and a large portion of foie gras.
Whoa.
At a hotel in Rome. Good Lord. He was really living the bowl.
Yeah, I guess.
It's like you at Pagliacci's.
I didn't eat that much, though.
You didn't?
No.
Maybe you got to step it up.
I just got the pasta with chicken in it. That was enough for me.
Oh my God. Who has that many pina coladas and rum on their own in Italy?
Yeah, how much sugar is that?
It was a heart attack. You can push yourself to a heart attack. I always feel that way on Christmas Eve.
Yeah, that's the thing I told you, that it's a real thing called holiday heart. It's for people who like don't drink that much, but then you do around the holidays, like you did when you're in college, and you get like this accelerated heartbeat like the next day.
Jeez.
And people think they're having a heart attack.
How old was James Gandolfini when he died?
Let me see. He's got to be 55?
51.
Jeez.
What a shame. God. You know what foie gras is?
That's like the duck that they feed until it explodes?
Yeah. Yeah. I guess.
How can that taste good?
Never had it. But if you ever see me ordering it, you know I'm trying to do myself in.
Yeah, he didn't look like when the whole thing started, he didn't look that out of shape.
No.
His kind of face looked the same.
Yeah.
But then as it went on, he definitely aged. Like, he looked like Obama at the end of two presidencies.
Like, yeah.
Put 10 years on.
Well, that's what they say. TV eats people.
It yeah, but you would have thought those the HBO things wouldn't do that to you. I mean, all those, the kids too. The only one who didn't age was Carmella.
Yeah, well, she started the series at 13 years old.
Just about. But yeah, all the kids went from like, I mean, AJ, the little kid, is just this like dumpy. He's got to be like 7 or 8.
Yeah.
And then by the time they're done, he's like out of college.
What happened to Christopher? Where's he now?
I don't know. He did a couple commercials, right?
Oh,
I remember hearing his
Didn't
voice
he do, like,
on something.
Heineken or tequila or something.
Yeah. That's one of the funny ones when he tries to be the Hollywood producer and they meet with Ben Kingsley.
Ghostbusters, another moneymaker.
What was it, Cleaver? The guy comes back to life, he gets whacked and he comes back to life and his hand's a cleaver.
The actor's name? Michael Imperioli.
Imperioli, that's right.
Imperioli. Still working. Still got stuff going on. Did a lot. Lucifer, Dice, Escape at Panama Manana, The Last Full Measure, Alex Inc., Cabaret.
How did he not get in Boardwalk Empire somehow?
He was doing The Sopranos.
No. Everybody got in Boardwalk that was in The Sopranos, it seems like.
Really?
Steve Buscemi's like was the lead character.
Yeah, but he wasn't a he got killed. Didn't he get killed early in The Sopranos?
I will say the last episode, I do like it. I disagree with most people.
It was the greatest. It was a big freak out.
But that was the whole thing was everything that happened, you thought somebody was going to get killed. And it fakes you out like 15 different times. Like every time they do this jump cut to a guy opening the door.
Yeah.
And then they show the guy sitting across looking at him.
Yeah.
And then he goes in the bathroom and then he comes out of the bathroom. And they jump cut to him again. And it's like just freaking you out for like 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And it's like almost this letdown that nothing happens. Remember she's parking the car for like 5 minutes. She keeps... Meadows like across the street and she's parallel parking and she misses like 4 times.
Yeah.
And it's just that's 5 minutes of the show is just her parking and you keep thinking somebody's going to run up and kill her.
So when it was over, did you think that he had lived or died?
I felt like it just kept going. In that sense, it was kind of an easy way out that they didn't really solve anything. Because like even Silvio's like in the hospital. AJ had just tried to kill himself. And I think the FBI was still after him. So it didn't really say like everything's going to be fine or, you know.
Right.
It's weird.
In an interview with the Directors Guild of America, David Chase goes granular on The Sopranos' famous final sequence, laying it out in great detail why he made the choices he did. It's a fascinating read, revealing how Chase deliberately packed the simple act of a family meal with a sense of almost mythic significance, using the songs in Tony's jukebox as a way to evoke the span of his life, and how the scene's rhythms and even its visuals were directly inspired by Chase's choice of song.
When was this?
When was this article?
Yeah.
2015.
I have to check that out, because I did look at it. You know where he did a big reveal was on the Jim and Sam show. Like, one of the things they had him on, and he was like, so is... And Sam just asked him, is Tony dead? And he said... he basically said no. And then everyone else was like, well, what do you mean he's not dead? And he's like, whether he's alive or not doesn't mean anything. And then he kind of like tried to, he definitely didn't want to tell anybody what happened. He didn't want to, he wanted to leave it up to interpretation.
I said to Gandolfini, the bell rings and you look up. That last shot of Tony ends on Don't Stop. It's mid-song. I'm not going to go into if that's Tony's POV. I thought the possibility would go through a lot of people's minds, or maybe everybody's mind, that he was killed. He might have gotten shot 3 years ago in that situation, but he didn't. Whether this is the end here or not, it's going to come at some point for the rest of us. Hopefully, we're not going to get shot by some rival gang mob or anything like that. I'm not saying that happened, but obviously, he stood more of a chance of getting shot by a rival gang mob than you or I do, because he put himself in that situation. All I know is, the end is coming for all of us.
See, he's not really saying anything.
You know why? He doesn't know. He didn't tell the story.
Yeah, it's just like the...
He just left it open.
What was that stupid... The best choice I ever made was I never watched that stupid show where all the people are stuck on the island in the future.
Yeah.
What is that one? The... they're on this spaceship that crashes. Lost.
Oh, yeah.
I never wasted an hour on that because I knew those people didn't know where it was going. Remember how big that was? And nobody cares now because they realized there was no finish.
There are attachments we make in life, even though it's all going to come to an end, that are worth so much, and we're so lucky to have been able to experience them. Life is short. Either it ends here for Tony or some other time, but in spite of that, it's really worth it. So don't stop believing.
See, do you see that he's just saying nothing there?
He said a lot there, Paul.
What?
He's saying that all these moments mean something.
Right.
That it's all a completely worthwhile endeavor, even though you know the end is coming.
Well, what, we want to know what happens to Tony, though. That's not answered. That would have been creepy if they did give him like a heart attack at that dinner.
Yeah,
like really in the would. Show.
I really had no idea. I never considered the black a shot. I just thought what we see is black. The ceiling I was going for at that point, the biggest feeling I was going for, honestly, was don't stop believing. For those of you that want to know if he survived or not, he didn't. He's dead. A guy came in, shot him in the face. They threw him in a trunk and dumped him in the river next to the giant stadium. If anybody didn't get that from the black screen, you're an idiot. I don't know what more you want me to say. No, I said that.
No, that's a... Well, that was the thing. They had just killed Phil, and then all the underlings had agreed they weren't going to kill him, but then you didn't know if they were going to double-cross him or not. So,
do you feel like you're living too safe of a life? Like when you're sitting in Pagliacci's, and you know there's no chance that a rival gang is going to come in because they don't. You don't have a rival gang.
I felt like I could have easily got killed.
You did?
Yeah, I felt like the Olive Garden people have something out for the Pagliacci's.
And they recognize you from all your times at the Olive Garden.
Well, you do. I mean, have you noticed, like, in this... There's like an NBA player that got in a car accident and died on Ventura Boulevard. There's always stuff going on here.
There was a place by Marie at Claire or whatever. It was a
Marie Calendar's
place. not Marie Callender's. On Colfax, there's a coffee place.
Oh, okay.
And across the street, there was an ethnic restaurant of some sort, and a guy, some mobster, got lit up in there like 5 years ago.
Oh, really?
Yeah, people went in and just lit him up. I don't think he was Italian mob. I forget what he was. And now it's like a vet hospital or something.
Oh,
just,
really?
Yeah, they just mowed the whole place down.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
There is a lot of cool places in L.A. that get redone into dumb things. Have you noticed that? Like, there's supposedly all these music places that are, like, storage malls now and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Like, that Sound City place is, like, some kind of storage mall or something.
Yeah, they don't really hang on to it. Yeah. I was just in Cantor's Deli.
Oh, right.
That's a good spot. That feels kind of haunted when you're in it.
Yes, definitely.
Right? That feels like a lot of weird stuff went on.
And they have the Kibitz Room.
Yeah.
Which is, like, the music room, which... Apparently, there's, like, super famous people will come in.
And do what? Just hang out?
There's just people that are in town, like, working on albums and stuff. That's kind of, you know, the late night place where they meet up. And sometimes, like, because the band's playing, they'll just jump in and play with each other. I saw there's two brothers who sing that song, Time Has Come Today. Time. You know that song? It's like
time
from the 60s.
Today.
Time.
Time.
It's the Something Brothers. But they were in there, like, singing.
Really?
And I was like...
You were there eating a pastrami?
I was just going through, and this girl I knew was a singer, and she's like, yeah, they come in here all the time. And I didn't even know the name to tell you, but you know the song when you hear it. And you're like, it was like one of those one-hit wonder groups or whatever.
Time is on our side?
No, it's...
time.
I think it's in all those Apollo 13, like Forrest Gump movies.
Oh, you're talking about Betty and the Jets.
No.
I got to have my voice for Vallejo.
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 Isn't
it weird growing up on the East Coast and then being here in the West Coast and seeing how people are acting like Dunkin' Donuts is like this rare bird that they just found? It was just garbage donut coffee.
Yeah, and we actually had Mr. Donut, too. We had both of them on the same corner. Dunkin' Donuts and Mr. Donut.
You have that?
We did when I was growing up, and then I think there's not room for both of them, Tom.
Yeah, that would be a fight. A total fight.
Yeah, do you still do? I feel like you don't do breakfast anymore.
What do you mean don't do breakfast?
Like at a place like that, you don't buy coffee and some dirtbag bagel.
Why would I have a dirtbag bagel? It is true. We talked about this before, but there was a time when I would get this obscene bagel with eggs and bacon on it, and it was literally like a pound of bacon. I would just eat that and, like, try and stay awake the rest of the day.
And that's what they make in those places. They make, like...
That'd be a good name of a shop.
Dirtbag bagel.
Dirtbag bagels. And you put that right next to my Italian place that yells at you if you have any kind of dietary restrictions.
We have a whole TV show.
I'm sorry. Are there traces of nuts in that?
This song.
Get out of here. Time! Yeah, I could see that being in a movie. I'm walking through Cantor's right now.
Yeah, this is like...
I've got sideburns.
Apollo 13 or some Vietnam movie.
Something with Samuel Jackson in it.
Damn. You never heard this song before?
I have heard that song a lot, but yeah. I was just picturing myself walking through Cantor's and those old guys singing that song. I think it would sound kind of...
The Chambers Brothers.
Kind of sad.
Yeah, they would look like...
Oh, the old Chamber Brothers.
They would look like if Jimi Hendrix was still alive, which would be not good, I feel like.
Have you ever seen The Smoking Monkey?
The Smoking Monkey. I think so, yeah. We talked about this once. That it was a prize that you got in something?
It's right there. It's a monkey that smokes cigarettes.
But where did you get it from?
Originally, I found it in a vending machine on the New Jersey Turnpike in 1986.
Right.
And then I used to, my friends and I would get in the car, because we just started driving, and we would just drive all the way down there just to get the Smoking Monkey. I'll show it to you. You want to see him smoke?
Yeah, we
Have you ever seen him smoke?
No, I think you told me about this.
All right. Calm down.
Is this your big Valentine's Day gift?
This is my Valentine's gift to you. Because we can't get high. We're going to let the smoke, the monkey do it.
So basically it's a green plastic monkey that you're putting a stick in his mouth.
It's not a stick. It's a cigarette.
That's a real cigarette?
Yeah.
And Tom's lighting it now.
See how he puffs it? What do you think of that?
He's smoking. Yeah, you gotta take a video of it.
It's called the Smoking Monkey. It's an ancient artifact from the New Jersey Turnpike. From the Thomas Edison Food and Fuel. See how he puffs it?
So is the paper...
It's like he comes alive.
Is the paper the trick, or is it the monkey?
No, it's a magical monkey, Paul.
He's green.
Yeah. He really smokes.
Yeah, that's not a... There's no filter on that.
No, that's like smoking up 5 packs of Camels.
That's probably like some kind of asbestos that was outlawed 40 years ago.
Yeah, you can only sell in the New Jersey Turnpike on a vending machine. It's kind of like that movie Gremlins when he gets to go to Chinatown and find this unique thing.
Yeah, there's a lot of movies about Chinatown and weird things.
Well, there's a lot of weird things that happen in Chinatown.
Big Trouble in Little China?
I literally... My daughters and I bought some bat wings in Chinatown.
Yeah, that was your last special, or the one before it, right?
Yeah. Someone just asked, when can we expect a new special from you? I was like, shut your pie hole. How about I'm not giving you one?
Well, you can do a 15-minute special.
I doubt they saw my last one. Look at that. That was the Smoking Monkey. Happy Valentine's Day,
Paul. Was cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's definitely like some kind of chemical. Remember I told you I found that railroad tie in my apartment? Apparently that causes cancer.
Oh, yeah.
You got to get rid of that. I feel like that's the Smoking Monkey.
Well, yeah, you
that.
Can't. They might weed might be legal here, but the Smoking Monkey definitely is not. Yeah, that's a. It's a. If you can find the Smoking Monkey, maybe you could look it up online, guys.
I've never seen it.
No, nobody has.
How many do you have?
Just the one. I got it when I was a child, and Smoking Monkey. Let me see what Google says about it.
Wait, you still have the papers even from it?
What? What papers?
What'd you stick in his mouth? That's just regular paper?
No, it was a cigarette.
Yeah, but you still have cigarettes for the Smoking Monkey?
Well, he comes with his own cigarettes.
From 30 years ago?
No, my family found this one for me. I don't know.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You must have got it recently, right?
Yeah, probably 5 years ago. Yeah, this is a new one. I didn't find this one on my own. When you look up Smoking Monkey, you can't find this Smoking Monkey. You find a lot of monkeys, real monkeys, that people put cigarettes in their mouths.
Yeah.
But you don't find the real Smoking Monkey.
Toy.
Real monkeys should never smoke. Let that be a lesson to you.
Maybe we can teach Bella to smoke. That'll be your calling card.
Ooh, there's a picture of it. The Smoking Monkey. Summertime in the 70s offered a kid several advantages over kids growing up today. You could ride your bike anywhere. Whoops. Load. Oh, my God. I'm really starting to think I might end up being one of those people that throws all technology away. You could ride your bike anywhere you wanted, stay out all day, and blow stuff up with fireworks. Oh, yeah, they were legal. Someone's older brother always had access to cherry bombs. Smoke bombs. I hate when you find something and then it's written by an idiot.
Smoke bombs was a big thing in our school. Remember those? Did you have those? Round ones? People would put them in a locker.
It was such an innocent time that you could blow things up in people's lockers and it would be seen as a joke.
You could smoke out the whole hallway and everyone would just leave because you had to clear out the school, but everybody knew it was just Don putting a smoke bomb in somebody's locker.
There he goes again. Came in its own little bag, a cheap plastic monkey in a seated meditation position, and six tiny white cigarettes. We didn't exactly know what to do with it. Should we light him on fire or watch him melt? My brother read the tiny type on the back. Put a cigarette in your monkey's mouth, light it, and blow out the flame, and the monkey will smoke blowing rings like a man. Whatever possessed some Japanese dude to create this, smoking was still socially acceptable for humans in the 70s, but probably not for other mammals. Yeah, so it was a novelty thing in the 70s.
But for a child's toy,
yeah,
that, you know, there's already fire included, it doesn't seem like a good idea.
That was back when kids could handle some fire. They'd walk around with cherry bombs in their pocket.
And poppers, you remember those? The popper, the white, they're like just wrapped up in like tissue. It was basically just gunpowder, and you would throw it.
Fun snaps.
Yeah, well.
Those are called fun snaps.
No, poppers.
No.
Fun snaps?
They were called fun snaps.
I feel like that's
I just had some this summer.
That's what Elton John would call them. Fun snaps.
Fun snaps. Party snaps. Trick noisemakers. What do you call them?
Poppers.
Let me put in poppers. According to Google, poppers. There is no such thing.
Yeah.
No, what you're talking about is a drug. Poppers is a slang term given broadly to the chemical class called alkali nitrates that are inhaled for recreational drug purposes.
No,
what's wrong with you?
That's your New Jersey Google.
What's wrong with you?
You're looking up murders.
Look, you look up poppers in Google Images. The closest you get is jalapeno poppers. There are no poppers.
Well, I don't think they can make those anymore, can they?
Yeah, well, no one calls them poppers.
But I feel like it's just gunpowder and tissue paper.
Fun snaps. Ba-boom.
I don't think it's fun for
a zillion images. Yes, they're like little gunpowder things, and you throw them at your friends.
Yeah.
I had them this summer.
Hit somebody in the back of the neck, you think it's fun for them?
I was throwing them at my mother. My 70-year-old mother, I was throwing them at her and making her jump, and it was fun. All the grandkids loved it.
Yeah, everything with explosions is pretty much out the window now.
I can get you... This is the cool thing is being an adult. Like, when you were a kid, you would get one little pack. I could buy you a whole box now for, like, $10.
Well, the other great thing is...
Of 50 on Amazon.
How much?
Pack of 50 fun snaps. $10. Throw them, step on them, drop them, snap.
Hit somebody in the glasses and just get a black mark.
Hit your mom in the face.
Do they sell the things that explode your cigarette or cigar?
Oh, where you put a little something in some guy's cigarette?
It's just a stick, just like what you put in the monkey.
And it just pops.
No, that's what I put one in my mom's cigarette, and that's how she quit smoking, she said. It freaked her out so much.
Really?
It was one of the reasons. Yeah, you never saw one of those things?
I saw them in cartoons. I didn't know they were real.
Yeah, they're real. It's just like a stick, and it explodes. And it's, like, really loud. Like, imagine, you know, you're sitting down to your weekly cigar trying to relax, and you light it up, and 5 seconds in, it just explodes in your face. imagine
sounds kind of dangerous.
How traumatic that would be. Yeah, I'm sure it's completely dangerous. It's fire and gunpowder.
That's funny. That's pretty good. You scare her, and then she doesn't want to use it.
Yeah, so your impulse that you light a cigarette is that it's going to explode, and then you don't want to smoke it anymore.
Very clever.
The other one was, I have these things called stink blasters. Did you ever have those as a kid?
Like farts.
Well, no, they're toys that smell like farts. They're like little toys that have like these stinky sponge things in them, and you squeeze them, and they're like, one smells like throw up, one smells like dog crap.
Sounds fun.
And you would bring them. They had like this container, stink blasters, and they had a container so it wouldn't stink outside. But if like, let's say you're in the elevator at school and you squeezed it like two or three times, even at the lunch table, it would just clear out the whole table.
I never heard of them.
Yeah, they got all up. But my sister found them online and she bought me like the complete set, so I still have them at my apartment.
See? Do they look like people?
Yeah. They're kind of like Garbage Pail Kids.
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
Toys. So it'll be like Porta Potty Paul or something like that, and it'll smell like a
Barfin Ben.
Yeah.
Butt Breath Bob.
Yeah. So if you like squeezed it in somebody's locker, you squeeze it in somebody's classroom and then left.
These sound fun.
Clear out the room.
And do it to my daughters.
You never had like fart spray? That was like that whole era.
No.
Yeah, they had fart spray too, where you could just spray this. The whole place smells like farts and clear it out. There's a whole industry based on bothering people.
You're just being an idiot.
The 12 to 15 year old boy market of bothering people for no reason.
Just being a
annoying
a young idiot. They just showed two wise-ass kids sneaking up on their sister and just spraying fart smell at her.
By the way, whoever sang that, 10 times more talented than Justin Timberlake. That guy actually sang. He actually sang instead of overdub.
That's funny. Stink blasters.
Yeah, I'll find one. I'll find one if there's a Tom. I don't know if there is a Tom one.
I should have gotten those for Valentine's Day.
Yeah. Oh. You just squeeze it in your kid's room when they wake up. The place smells like manure. Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day. Here's a fart in your face. Woo! I guess we should do Valentine jokes.
Maybe.
I feel like maybe you're done with the joke portion of the thing. Like they've gotten so bad lately,
yeah,
that you feel like you're being hurt by it.
I feel like it's not like I like old corny jokes, but I feel like we're finding this whole new breed of like people who think they're writing jokes. It's like a sad thing to me. Like it's like everything, all the ingredients of a joke are in there,
yeah,
but it's just not funny.
It's like when you watch a bad comedian, you're like, oh, am I that far from that? He's doing all the things technically that I do.
And something just isn't right.
Yeah, just makes you feel sad.
But are you, it was weird. I went to the film festival last week.
Yeah.
The Santa Barbara. So I got to see Margot Robbie.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm living my life as Margot Robbie now.
She's Margot Robbie.
You don't know who she is? She played I, Tanya.
Oh, yeah, she's great.
She's amazing. And by the way, she produced that movie and
really?
Put herself in it. And
now you're going to make her your girlfriend?
No, I wish. She's already married, I think.
Ah.
But she's never...
Maybe go into... set up a meeting at her house and I will try. Hit her husband with a stink blaster.
I will try. She's the most beautiful person on the planet.
Whoa! Someone's in love.
You don't think she is? I think it's, like, known.
What?
Ask your wife. I'm sure it's, like, a known thing that she's, like, the most beautiful woman.
I don't think that's really true. Are we still in a world where Gwyneth Paltrow's still alive?
Oh, Tom, please.
What?
Gwyneth Paltrow would kill to be Margot Robbie right now.
What? Let me look her up.
She was her first role was the hot blonde wife in Wolf of Wall Street.
She's not so great.
Tom.
She's trashy looking. She's not the class that an Uma Thurman or a Gwyneth
what?
Paltrow is.
Oh, you're crazy. You never saw the Saturday Night Live sketch where she hosted and there's like a sinkhole in the parking lot. And it's like the guy that's with her and the newscasters are just obsessed with like, so does that guy like have a lot of money or something? Or how did this,
oh, right,
how
yeah.
did you guys meet? Like they're more obsessed with how he got her.
No, she was the one in that weird movie. Where she plays like something Quinn. You know what I mean?
Oh, she's been in like a million things, but I didn't know.
Suicide Squad.
Right, right. Harley Dean.
Right. Harley Quinn.
She played that's the character that everyone dressed up as. Every girl dressed up as her for Halloween.
Yes, I think my daughter might have. Yeah, she's okay. It's not my kind of thing, Paul. I'm a married man. This kind of thing is for you.
No. I'm saying just as a, just to see her, because who's the woman?
Channing Tatum.
No, the woman that played the mom in I, Tonya.
Faye Dunaway.
No, she was in West Wing.
Jennifer Aniston.
No. But that woman is like classically beautiful, and she's an actress, and she's tall, and she looks like a monster next to Margot Robbie.
You're in love. I've never seen you. This is such a
I don't think it's me.
This is such a perfect Valentine's story.
I'm pretty sure it's like a known thing that she's like...
the most beautiful one?
The hottest actress, at least.
I don't know.
Yeah, that was her. That's the whole interesting thing. She could play the hot chick in every movie, but now she's doing all these things on her own, even though... like, she couldn't get anybody to make I, Tonya, so she made it herself.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it was pretty interesting because she's talking about, like, one of those things, like, you know, she got discovered by an agent. She was working at Subway. She's like, I had three jobs when I was 16, and I was like, I want to be in a movie. So like somebody and me and my friend were just talking about like how many hours did she even make it to the end of her first Subway shift before a guy was like, hey, do you want to be in a movie?
Wow.
Yeah, she was like a soap opera star in Australia when she was like 18, and then
she's Australian.
Yeah.
See, I'm not into that.
That's what is, don't you think that's amazing that you didn't even know that she played Tonya Harding in that movie with no accent at all?
That is impressive. So what's your plan?
Because
for Valentine's
everything
Day?
She does, she's never heard the word no in her life. She just does anything she wants. So I think that's my mindset now. As soon as I want to do something, I just do it.
So how are you going to get her on Valentine's Day?
I'm not going to get her. I can get a...
You just said...
A Margot Robbie. Maybe she's got a sister. I don't know.
You just said that you're going to...
I'm living the Margot Robbie life. That's what I'm trying to
do. I'm saying live the Margot Robbie life to get Margot Robbie.
Well, she's 20... What's she probably? 27? She's got, what?
Too old for you?
5 years on this marriage.
Right.
She'll be 30... I'll hit her at 33. Right after the divorce.
That's good. I like the way you're thinking.
But I think she's too perfect. She probably won't even get divorced.
So you won't make the move tomorrow is what you're saying.
I think it's too early.
It's too early.
Plus, she's still too... I got to wait until she has a couple flops.
There's a breast joke in there somewhere.
And also, Bella just had a nightmare while we were doing the... I don't know if you saw that.
Bella's not impressed with Margot Robbie. Seems like a very nice person. But it's not all about beauty, Paul. So that's why I think you should go get her.
But it...
Oh, my God.
Oh, you're getting a lot of messages.
It's the new operating system on the computer. So everything is... I can't even talk about it. I'm just gonna beat somebody up.
I was just trying to distract you from doing these jokes.
Ah, you're not going to stop me. We've got a minute left in the podcast, and I'm going to get them in. I'll make it less painful. You know, people ask us all the time. They say, you're a comedian. Make me laugh. Why don't tell me a joke? Well, we don't know those kind of jokes, and this is why. I'm going to give you funny Valentine's one-liners.
Okay.
Short, sweet, pain-free.
All right.
Are you ready?
I have one joke, one old joke that I remembered.
You want to start with it?
You do a bad one first, and I'll try to recover.
I don't know if any of these are going to be bad.
Okay. See, that's the Margot Robbie thinking right there. Everything's going to be good.
If love is blind, why is lingerie so popular?
Theoretically, it's funny.
Why didn't Cupid shoot his arrow at the lawyer's heart? Because even Cupid can't hit a target that small. What do you call a woman who goes out with you?
I don't know.
Desperate.
Now, see, you wrote a book. Do you think the pitch meeting, that guy was reading these jokes out loud?
Sometimes the first page isn't really the good ones. You got to get
deeper. We got gold here, Marty. Keep writing.
What did the paperclip say to the magnet?
I don't know.
I find you very attractive.
Bella's having a nightmare about that.
How did the telephone propose to his girlfriend?
I don't know.
He gave her a ring. Why did the cannibal break up with his girlfriend? She didn't suit his taste.
I was going to say she's eating up too much time.
That would have been a clock. I can't wait for Valentine's Day because I get to make cupcakes for a special someone, and that special someone is me.
Is that a joke or are you just... Just breathe.
All right, what's yours?
So this guy moved into a small town, and here's a knock at the door, and the guy next door said, hey, you just moved in the neighborhood. We thought we'd throw a party for you, so you can come on over in a couple hours. There's going to be a lot of drinking, fighting. Lots of sex. So come on over, you know, whenever you want. And he's like, who else is going to be there? Just me and you.
See, that's a good one.
I didn't put on the whole accent or anything.
That's a good one. All right, we'll end on that. If you are a subscriber and you get the bonus podcast this week, you're going to get the dirtiest Valentine's jokes we can find.
Uh-oh.
Yeah. And for everybody else, we thank you for tuning in. We hope you have a wonderful Valentine's Day. And let's get this posted so that people don't have to go without. Hopefully my cold will be done, and I'll have great shows in Puerto Vallarta and Frugal's Way.
Vallejo.
Go to TomPapa.com for all the dates. And Paul will be at some of them. Other ones he'll be chasing down Margot Robbie someplace. Enjoy your life.